to Inside the Lunchbox with your boy Chef Mac. Just want to welcome everybody to our first ever podcast show. How exciting is this? First ever podcast show. So today in our show, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Like I said, it's our first show, Inside the Lunchbox. We're going to talk about food. We're going to talk about more food, and we're going to talk about more food. And also, we're going to talk about family. And we're going to talk about family and food. But let's go ahead and get started. So I have a great show for you guys, our first episode, just kind of an icebreaker of what we're going to be getting into for the next five series, including this one. It'll be six. This is the introduction. So first thing we're going to do today, we're going to go over one of my favorite books. This book has definitely saved me in several ways, especially in school. And it was actually suggested that I get this book by one of my chefs. It's called The Flavor Bible. This book is really, really good. This book is written by Karen Page and Andrew Dornberg. They wrote this book. So I'll give you a brief idea how this Bible, the Flavor Bible, works. This Flavor Bible, or this book, has every piece of food ever imagined to man in this book. It is about, 500-600 pages of nothing but great information. So the way it works is, say you have a specific cut of meat, whether it be beef, chicken, buffalo, or anything like that. You look it up in this book. Once you find that meat, it would give you a list of things that pair well with this book. Pair well with your meat, with your protein, right? Whether it's a spice, whether it's a herb, whether it's fruit, veggie, it gives you a list. And you can pick from that list, oh, this sounds good. Oh, let's try this. Let's try that, and let's put it together. You have to excuse me. Sinuses down here in Texas are crazy, especially with the weather. Man, it's been crazy. We had some jacked up weather here in Texas the last couple weeks. But nevertheless, we're going to keep pushing on. But yeah, like I said, you look up your cut of meat and say you find your herbs and you find some veggies. And what you could do, you keep going further and you could just start stacking flavors on top of flavors on top of flavors, building a great flavor profile. Great flavor profile. And when I say it gives you everything, and then it even gives you kind of like, before you start reading it, it tells you this plus this plus this plus this best pairs with whatever you looked up. You know, say pork. Pork is a great, great protein, great tasting protein. Goes well with fruit. So with the fruit, you know, it'll tell you. You look up your specific fruit, say apples, and then you can find what seasons or spices or herb goes well with apple and build your great flavor profile. And it also has a couple of nice reads in here about umami and your taste buds and how your taste buds work. You know, the saltiness, the bitterness, the sweet and the sour, and how it all works together. And, you know, if you got something too salty, you can add a little sweetness to it. So it kind of breaks down the whole tasting experience, the whole profile palate experience. It's a great, great book. Once again, the book is called The Flavor Bible. And They actually have another one. I think it's like for vegetarians, if I'm not mistaken. Haven't really looked into that one. But the Flavor Bible, when you know that you have it, it's going to be a black book. And it's going to have like some wooden spoons with some herbs and some seasonings on it. And some spices on the cover. And it's written by the same people. The vegetarian book and this one is written by the same people. But definitely check it out. It's called, it's written by Karen Page and Andrew Dornberg. Yeah, definitely go check the book out. It's called The Flavor Bible. For all you home cooks, definitely. I strongly recommend that you get this book. It definitely will take that to the next level. Even your line cooks, even for experienced chefs, I definitely suggest and recommend this book. Yeah, so definitely check it out. Yep. So with that being said, I would like to add, if you already have the book, no, send me a picture or a recipe or a profile that you built and, you know, that you found was, you know, it was very, very tasteful and very, very savory or sweet. You know, send it to me and we'll do it. We'll cook it here on the show and we'll test it and see, give you what we, our little critique or, you know, maybe we could, you know, tell you, give you some suggestions on what you have. But yeah, definitely. If you got the book, try to build a profile. Send me what you got, and we could definitely incorporate it here on the show, cook it up, and see what we done differently compared to what you've done. So yeah, definitely give it a try. So with that being said, we're going to move right along, folks. So with Inside the Lunchbox, I would love to strive for Inside the Lunchbox to be a very family-oriented podcast show. Something that would bring family, not just family, but friends, and bring people together. Food definitely brings people around. Family brings food. If you've ever been anywhere, a family reunion, or you hung out with friends and you got invited to their house, most likely you're going to have food. There's food everywhere. Super Bowl party, which is coming up in a couple weeks. Super Bowl. I mean, me personally, not a fan of either team, but I probably would go for, I'll probably go for the Eagles. I think my friend would like that. But yeah, so food is all over the place, man. You go to a football game, there's food. You go have a party, there's food. You have a get-together, family reunion, there's food. So food definitely brings family and friends together. So that's what I want with Inside the Lunchbox. I want to be able to bring and make it personal with you guys out there in the podcast world. Where you guys can send me recipes. We'll try it. We'll cook it on the show. We'll even eat it on the show. And I will even have some recipes that I will even put out for you guys to try. And you guys give me the feedback on that recipe. So I definitely want to get, you know, for us to get engaged together on this podcast Inside the Lunchbox. Now, bear with me. This is my very first time doing a podcast. So we're going to learn together. We're definitely going to learn together. So with that being said, let's go over or let's look into something that is definitely a the reason why culinary exists, I guess, should I say. The five mother sauces. Have you guys ever heard of the five mother sauces? If so, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So like I said earlier in the show, this is going to be a 6-part series. It's going to be the introduction, which we're going to talk about the 5 mother sauces. We're going to talk about bechamel. We're going to talk about velouté. We're going to talk about sauce tomato or tomato sauce. And we're going to talk about espanol. And we're also going to talk whether demi-glaze is an espanol or no. Or is demi-glaze the 6 mother sauce? But anyway, we'll get to that. And then the next sauce is going to be Hollandaise, which is one of my favorite sauces, which is kind of odd because before I went to school, I wasn't a big fan of, I love scrambled eggs. I love fried hard eggs, but I wasn't a big fan of any type of over easy eggs. Any type of eggs that ran, I wasn't trying to catch it. So, and it's funny because Hollandaise is definitely one of my favorite sauces to make. And it's could be quite complicated, especially if you don't know how to control the temperature of the butter. And that's the key. So, like I said, we're going to go over the 5 mother sauces. And then we're going to do a episode on each sauce. And on each sauce, we're going to tell you the base. We're going to tell you what it's used for, the thickening. We're going to even probably break down, go into the flavoring of each sauce. And then we break it down even further. We probably could even go down to secondary sauces that you have to, that you can make with one of the mother sauces. And what is even classically served with. So let's start off with the bechamel, the white sauce. Such a great sauce. Man, you could do so much with this sauce. I love this sauce. This sauce is by far probably my second favorite. Probably because I also love Alfredo. And Alfredo is definitely a secondary sauce of bechamel. Next sauce is a velouté, which is a white stock. And you normally, bases classically with veal, chicken or fish stock can be also be used. The thickening agent, you start off with a roux. All right, the next sauce is a tomato sauce. Now, this is not ragu that you go into the store and get. And you could say it's a tomato sauce, but no, it's not. This sauce is so flavorful. It's like an explosion in your mouth. If this sauce is done right, done correctly, this sauce will send you to a whole nother level because it's so much you can do. But it's also hard because with it being a tomato paste, you actually have to let it simmer for a long period of time. Just let it cook, let your aromatics get in there, and let your flavor start building. But it's also one of those sauces where it tastes better the next day. Just me personally. This is what I feel about it. But, I mean, you can use it for anything, Of course, red sauce, spaghetti, bolognese, great, great, great sauce. All right, so the next sauce is espanol. Now, this sauce right here. So this sauce kind of got me in trouble when I was in culinary school because I told the chef that espanol's demi-glaze. And he looked at me, and I swear this guy, I just committed the ultimate culinary sin of life, right? But he also was a French chef, so I could see his passion. But nevertheless, it's a brown sauce, roasted veal stock, thickening agent. You got to start with a brown roux. Of course, you use your mirepoix with it. And it says common secondary sauce is demi-glaze. I don't know about that, but hey, nevertheless, demi-glaze in Espanol is the same thing. All right, and the next one is my favorite. And I think the reason why my favorite, because I love to eat eggs Benedict. Oh my God, one of my favorites. So true story. We were making in culinary school here in Houston, Texas. I went to the Culinary Institute of La Nôtre. Shout out to all the chefs there. Great people. The staff was great. The school is phenomenal. We were learning how to emulsification was our class that day. So we also made mayonnaise, which is emulsification, and we also we made it in holidays. Well, we all made it, and everybody in class made the holidays. And I'm like, man, I'm not sure if I'm gonna be down with these eggs and or whatever. And also, you know, having a egg that's not, to me, not all the way cooked. So I thought, you know, and one of the grades that we get in class is tasting what we cook. So I proceeded to cook my egg, you know, in the pot with the boiling water, added salt, stirred it to it, coated the yolk, pulled it out, set it to the side. Of course, we wrapped it or whatever, covered it up, set it to the side, and proceed on to making our hollandaise. After the hollandaise was done, I tasted it, and I was like, I was kind of skeptical at first, but I tasted the hollandaise, and I was like, oh, wow. This sauce is delicious. It had the right acidity in it. It had the right salt. It was creamy. It was rich. It was amazing. Definitely amazing. But anyway, so we go ahead and we warm up our egg. The sauce is already hot. We get our muffins, muffins that we use for our eggs Benedict. We toasted them. We cooked, sauteed the ham, put it on there, put our egg on top, and drizzled the hollandaise on it. Well, before once we make the eggs Benedict, we plated it, and we did our artistry work by garnishing the eggs Benedict that we made. So the way it works in the Culinary Institute of La Nôtre, you prep one day, and then the next day you cook your food, and then you present it to everybody in the school that's going to school at that time. So we make our eggs Benedict, and we're walking it down, and we're presenting it. We presented it saying that we made the eggs Benedict, and the technique that we used was emulsification. So I got down time to where everybody gets to try it. Well, I pulled one, and I'm like, like I said, I'm not too, at the time, I wasn't down with the runny eggs. So I got it, you know, and I cut into it, and I was like, oh, well, here we go. I mean, I'm just going to take one bite. If I don't like it, I'll just throw it away. Man, when I say I cut into that eggs Benedict and that ham and that egg and the acidity and the saltiness and the ham, oh, my God, it was amazing. It was great. Great experience. Great, great experience. So definitely those are the five mother sauces: bechamel, velouté, tomato, espagnol, and hollandaise. So what we're going to try to do is our next podcast show, we're going to go right down the list. We're going to go over bechamel, and we're going to tell you everything that goes well with a bechamel. Just giving you a quick example, Alfredo. Then we're going to go down to our next episode. We're going to do our velouté, and then the next, so forth and so on, all the way down to the holidays. Of course, we're going to save the best for last. My favorite, the hollandaise. The one thing that I haven't really got into that I want to perfect is my hollandaise, because I feel like there's so much you could do with hollandaise. But it's quite difficult to make because you have to emulsify, and you could break your hollandaise. You could definitely break it. And I also give you some tricks and some trade secrets on how to hold your hollandaise when you're in the kitchen, or if you're in a restaurant and, you know, you have to make hollandaise for a large group of people. Or if you're in a restaurant and you need to hold it so it won't break and it won't go bad. So, yeah, we'll go ahead. We're going to give you the tricks and the trades on that as well. And then we're also going to go over some recipes. What recipes would go good that I think is one of them, it would go good with the bechamel. So Inside the Lunchbox with Chef Mac. This is our very first podcast show. It's only going to get better over time, people. It's only going to get better. We got so much planned for you guys. We're stationed here in North Houston, so we're going to do a lot of restaurant reviews, and we're going to give you guys a bunch of information about where to go eat, where not to go eat, who has great food. And this month is Black History Month, y'all. Black History Month. We started our podcast in Black History Month. So nevertheless, we're going to probably go over the top 5 or the top 10 black restaurants here in Houston, in Texas, on our podcast show. So we have so many things planned for you guys. We have live podcasts set aside where we're actually going to go in the kitchen with me, and we're actually going to cook. Hopefully I could cook one of your guys' recipes that you send to me on my Facebook. We have our Facebook account up. We also have our Instagram account up, which is Inside the Lunchbox. You type that in, you will get it on Facebook, and you also will get it to show up on IG or Instagram as well. So hopefully I could test out some of your guys' recipe and give you my thoughts on it, what we could do to make it better. Family recipes, I know that they're secrets, so don't give me your best family secret recipe, because what we will do, we will share those recipes on our show. So if you want it to be a secret, don't send me your secret family recipe if you don't want anybody to know. But if you do send it, and you do send it to me or post it on Facebook, most likely it will get shared. So go over some restaurants. We're also going to have a to-do list for you guys where we're going to give you guys homework. Yep, that's right. You listen to my podcast, you're going to have homework. And the homework today is go to your flavor Bible. Matter of fact, go into your kitchen, pick out your protein, or go pick out a protein that you want, and see if you can come up with three to four things you could pair with your protein, and see if you can make a recipe off of that and cook it. But I want it to be different. I don't want it to be your same palate that you're used to, because, you know, we all grow up having the same palate. When you grow up in the South, we tend to have, everybody tend to have the same palate, you know, the Southern comfort food. So let's expand our palate. So if you pick your protein, let's try out of the three things that you're going to do, let's say four. So out of the four, you can have one that you know about, and one pair, I guess, whatever you pair it with, the herbs, spices, or whatever, you can have one that you pretty much know about. But the other three items or the other three things that you're going to pair your protein with has to be different. Has to be something that you never tried. Now, don't get too outrageous with it. You know, H-E-B and Kroger's, they may not have the wild and, you know, exotic stuff here. So, you know, you don't have to get too crazy with it, but they do have some things that you could definitely try. I like, you know, maybe we could do something with star anise. So, you know what? Let's do this. How about you pick one? The other one I'm going to pick for you guys is star anise. Come back. Tell me what you made, Hughes and star anise. Send it to me on my Facebook, on my IG, and tell me how it turned out. So with that being said, folks, I just want to say thank you guys for listening to my very first, very, very first podcast show. Yeah! Thank you guys for tuning in. Once again, you can go on my Facebook, look us up on Facebook and on IG. We're only going to get better from here, folks. We got so many things planned for you guys. Before I go, just remind you, go get the Flavor Bible and check out the mother sauces. The five mother sauces are bechamel, velouté, tomato, Espanol, and Hollandaise. If you don't know anything about it, go check on the history about it. The history is very, very good history about the French chef who invented the mother sauces. It actually was two of them. Started off with four mother sauces. And then another guy came along and took one of the sauces away and made two more sauces, and that became our mother sauces ever since the 19th century, the early 19th centuries, if I'm not mistaken. And we'll probably do a podcast show on that too as well. But like I said, folks, thank you guys for enjoying coming out and listening to my podcast show. And just want to say, you guys have a great day. And remember, if it's food, it's going to bring family together. If family will bring food together, and if it looks good, why not try it? Bye.